Hi. Care is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Having some pretty exciting times here. I would like you to check my webpage out. I've been going over a major overhaul with it, redesigning it, making it a whole lot easier to get around on my website than it has ever been before. And I've also developing a world outreach. There's a world page where people can come and join in, and especially you pastors that are out there that are interested in a last days kind of ministry of reaching the lost for Christ, come join my site. Put your website on my world page so others can hear what your message is. And let's get into this thing which I call last days ministry. You see, for 2,000 years, well, let's start with when Jesus was here and he selected his disciples and the apostles, and they went about turning the world upside down. After Jesus rose from the cross, the apostles turned the world upside down. This began the ordinary, as it was, ministry. Once these people, the 12 apostles, died away with their first-hand witnesses of people being alive in the day of Jesus, that was alive when he was alive, those people, when they passed away, then you have a whole new generation that was not alive when Jesus was alive on earth. Then you had that period of time, we usually just like to call it 2,000 years, rounded off. You had a period of time when Jesus simply won't return. It's just not going to happen, no matter what anybody thinks or any kind of ministry anybody develops. Jesus simply was not going to return. And you had this space of 2,000 years. So ordinary kind of things, the standard type of things of the church age would happen. Sometimes God moves a little bit, and most of the time he doesn't. You get miracles, answered prayer, but generally you don't see this thing like when Moses was here and you had all the 10 plagues there. Or any of the major apostles, from time to time, you have a pretty obvious move of God. And when Jesus came here, God was right here with us and talked to us. Well, mainly to the 12 apostles. And so those first group of people were inspired to write what we call the New Testament. It's important to know about the New Testament and the rest of the Bible for that matter. In the today we have lots of versions, and part of the last days is to have these modern versions, whereas in the past you didn't really have them. You were kind of stuck with the King James version of the New Testament and Old Testament. If you wanted something in a English that you couldn't understand, you would have to get a King James Version Bible. All the other Bibles that were translated from the kinds of manuscripts that the King James was translated from, they kind of went by the wayside because the King James Bible became extremely popular and was in a condition that it could be mass produced. Where the other Bibles just didn't gain that popularity, and so generally faded away till that we have one Bible. If you wanted to go and get this series of manuscripts, translation, then you have to use the King James. There is another series of manuscripts which all the modern versions come from. And we can trace that back to two individuals named Westcott and Hort, who they got their entire version, their own particular translation, to become the official Church of England Bible, whereas all modern versions come from. You got a modern versions in your hand, I don't care what anybody tells you, I don't care what the preface tells you, I don't care what kind of research that you're going to that maybe your pastor's given you or some other kind of organizations that are giving you. If you don't really do some personal research on your own, then you're not going to find out much about Bible versions, except that conditioning that we have to try to say that generally speaking, modern versions are just fine. It's just that you can look at the gospel from this angle, and then you can look at the gospel from this angle, then you can kind of look at it from this angle, and you can kind of look at this angle, and you have different ways, and pastors love to select the version that best suits their message, and they have the choice to choose whatever they want. I've talked to a number of pastors that simply say they don't need God's involvement in selecting versions. They select the version that they want for their sermon. And the thing is, there's not even a hint of concern about looking at any information that is going to say modern versions is something more attuned to Satan counterfeit Bibles. And yes, modern versions are Satan counterfeit Bibles, and it's not just because I like King James. King James is not necessarily a perfect Bible, but you see, in the translating of the Bible, perfection is absolutely necessary to convey the Word of God. This is why we are always given this thing that whenever just about every one of you know the scriptures about study and show yourself approved of God. We're admonished to check out the facts. And the Bible is about the most studyable Bible in existence. And so there is literally no excuse. Even if you have a modern version, the Bible is set up to be the most studyable. And so you can find out things. And I don't care how quacky you think some websites might be because they're not agreeing with what you believe. You need to read some of these sites if you're finding out that you can get tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of web pages on a couple of people that, I mean, there's so much information on Westcott and Hort. They're real people. They did real things. They really got the Church of England Bible to be their version. And then, in 1901, it had its first little adjustment, not revisions or not what we could actually call modern versions, but in 1901 you had your first little revision, as it was, but revision isn't a good word for it. Then in 1946 you began to get modern versions. And modern versions, again, come from Westcott and Hort of the 1880s, and they used a corrupt manuscript. Two manuscripts. One is actually from the original copies of the originals. The other one is, I don't care how it came into being, it's a counterfeit of Satan. I don't care how well-intended the people were or how satanically motivated with their knowledge they did it. And it wasn't just a set of agnostic books. We got the forgotten books of the Bible, and we got the lost books of the and so forth, and various other types of books, and we got other you got Genesis, and you got Jasher, I think it is Jasher, that she's almost exactly like Genesis, book by book, isn't it? You have a set of other same books and chapters in another set of manuscripts that, for lack of a better term, I just simply call Satan counterfeits. And they have the same collection of books that were counterfeited as you have in what we have now as we call the Bible. And both of these were translated into Latin Vulgate in the 2nd century. And one, the one that was the copy of the actual writings of the apostles in the New Testament books, was used until the 16th century and the 15th century. In the 15th century, the corrupt version was actually found and made to be the official Bible of the Catholic Church. So the Catholics got it first, the corrupt one, in the 15th century, and then the Protestants got it in the 1880s, but it really didn't really get manifested until the 1946, when we have the first official modern versions come out. And then from there we got a whole bunch more. The point here is, if modern versions came out before Israel became a nation, they would be just as good as the Bible, basically. They would be basically just as holy, as it were. I mean, there isn't a kind of difference that is going to make you not saved or believing Satan's God or something like that. Because counterfeits aren't like that. You got a counterfeit dollar, it's got to really, I mean, people are going to hold it up to the light. They're going to shine it down here on black light. They got a marking pin that they can mark across there, and it depends on the color it turned. There's lots of ways that people try to find out if the dollar is real or not. And so you got great counterfeiter in Satan to make a Bible that is very difficult otherwise to be shown to be a counterfeit. And somehow or another you don't get that. Somehow or another you don't care. Somehow or another you say, well, God protects His Word. He did! The King James Version! The design of the corrupt version is effective when Israel becomes a nation. Because when Israel becomes a nation, that means that generation won't pass away. And to simply stir everything up so you could not worry about everybody's definition of generation, you just could just go on with that. If you're born on the day that Israel became a nation, somebody in the world that was born that day will be alive, and Jesus will be back on earth. It's that simple to cover all bases, because we got lots of years going by and we passed some people's idea generation. So if we want to say the Bible's true and all that and generation won't pass away, then in generation has got to be the people that are born in 1948. Somebody's going to be alive when Jesus comes back. Well, things began once that happened. You've got a new clock starting that means there's going to be people alive when Jesus comes. This is actually beginnings of the last days church, because these people are going to be, the ones that aren't going to be alive or that would not live that long are not the last days church. They're in the mode of the pre-last days church. Now in the last days, Satan comes into all of expertise considering counterfeits, where he's going to counterfeit everything God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And again, counterfeits are not something that you can tell readily. It's not monopoly money that you can know a mile away. And so, the counterfeit Bible is only as good as its support. That means that they need to be exterior things, other counterfeit things that will coincide with the Bible. See, when you're reading modern versions, whether it be the King James or modern versions, you're conditioning yourself And since the Bible is a living word, it's going to have an effect on you. And the counterfeit is real seeming because it is based on the Bible to be as accurate as possible, with the subtlety that is difficult to notice. And so when you read over a period of time, you're accumulating a conditioning which is different than if you hear somebody's preaching. When you're reading or hearing a modern version read, it's going in. So it's not your belief system that it's going into. It's going into your hard drive database and your condition. You don't know how this works. You don't know how you learn to talk. You just know that at 4 or 5, you're talking just about as good as anybody. And all you're doing is adding vocabulary. But you don't remember when Mommy said, "Say Mommy." You just have no clue of that. She was always Mommy to you. Conditioning is something that is habit. It is bondage to. Doesn't mean it's all bad. But concerning modern versions, it's going to be. And then Satan's going to be doing this. The world order of things are going to create and invent, and sometimes centuries ago, if not thousands of years ago, Satan was around. He knew today was coming. He had his people that he was influencing to even as much as plant things so they could be discovered. That the whole scenario work of this 5,000-year thing, even including some of the 1,000 years in the garden and the 1,000 year after the garden days, Satan has got all this planned out. And so he doesn't need people to be alive to remember to be there as part of the plan. He has new generations of people in each generation to carry out his plans. And things are set up in the past to be able to be discovered in the future, and other stuff being planted into our day and brought about and told you and reported to you in such a fashion that you're going to have almost no choice, because it's going to affect your senses. You know, seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, all this kind of stuff. This is what it's designed. The attack is on your senses. And so what you have to deal with is so easy to say, "Well, I go by faith. I don't go by the flesh," and stuff like that. I'm sorry, people. I don't care how Christian, how close you are to God, you are flesh. You're in your body. You don't have a spiritual body. You're just not there. And so the effects of whatever the input of your senses are going to affect you. And it's your knowledge that you seek out that's going to basically protect you from things. Oh, God's going to protect you. He says for you to hold fast, to stand fast, to persevere. If you stood awake, if you watched in Revelation 3:3, the thief could not come and take all your stuff. If you're not watching, the thief is going to come in and take. Doesn't matter how Christian you are. And if you're watching, you can see the devices of Satan and be prepared for it. If you know modern versions are Satan counterfeit, then you would not relate to modern versions as the Word of God. And when events start taking place, you won't need to run back to the modern versions and say, "Oh yes, this is I'm reading it right here in the modern version, and I'm comparing it to what I see out here, and it looks like that, yeah, you know, I was kind of believing it was this other way, but sure enough, there it is in the modern version saying that this counterfeit thing is, that's how it is." You're going to believe it. It's hard to maybe understand if you're so set in your ways and you just want to believe that what you're believing is right. And then when the deception comes, you're the prime candidate for them. Counterfeits are something to deceive you. And even if the elect could be deceived, that you will be deceived. And you're only going to be able to prevent this by keeping watch on the deceptions. You got to understand the last days. And today, people are doing things inconsistent or being consistent with the last 2,000 years. When you go to church, you got the whole ceremonial setup, which is fine for the past 2,000 years, and you got a variety of denominations so everybody could be happy worshiping you, worshiping the way you most feel comfortable, and nothing wrong with that, but this is a standardization of the 2,000 years that's gone before us. Now there's something different. Pastor, if you don't begin to get this conditioning broken, if you don't begin to concept the idea that you are not the 2,000 years before Christian, you are a last days Christian. There is lots different about today. We're going to see God move. We're going to see vivid deceptions from Antichrist. So we need to keep watch. And also, since I'm running out of time, you need to get to know Jesus if you don't know Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. And God rose him on the third day. Now, there is a way you can get to know Christ right now. You can pray this simple prayer. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that God rose you on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. A simple prayer like that will get you saved. If you believed what you just prayed, that Jesus is the Son of God and God rose him on the third day and he died on the cross paying the price for your sin. This is something by faith. It's not something that you could do by proof. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, then you can get plenty of proof come your way. Now that you've accepted Jesus Christ, or if you already have accepted Jesus Christ, Jesus can baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and he wants to. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is not like getting baptized in water. The baptized in water is a symbol of the death and burial of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. This is the symbolism of being baptized in water. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are literally filled with the Holy Spirit. And you have more access to the spiritual gifts that we read about in the Bible. Healing, prophecy, word of knowledge, so forth and so on. And you'll have the evidence of this by speaking in a different language that you haven't learned. Doesn't mean you're going to learn the language, but you'll be able to speak in a different language. And gay people, Jesus loves you as you are. When people say gay is sin, they're using 14 verses. And these 14 verses are talking about gang rapists, male temple prostitutes, and they're talking about people that have nothing to do with gay behavior. Gay is not sin. Invite Jesus into your life. People, get ready. The deception on the way. You're a last days Christian. And life is different now. And the ministry that goes out is different as well. Same Bible, same word, God's the same, but we live in a different time. See you next week.